Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Shalom, shalom. Shalom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom. Shalom. Shabbat shalom. How you doing, friend?
Yeah, good.
Yeah. Your microphone is good. It sounds really good.
Mine?
Yeah, yeah. You clear. Yeah, absolutely clear. Perfect.
All right, good, good.
This how is Mike? You good?
Yeah.
All right,
Mike's
good. All right. Good day. Hey, man, you got a scripture for us? We can open up and get started.
Yeah, I got one.
And to remind everyone, once again, we want to thank you, welcome you again to the Sound of Living Water, Job Israel, Come and See Ministries by the study class. My parents are Absalom, my son. This is that thing. We're here, we're still dealing with the creation, and we're dealing with the angels at this point because the angels was created before us. They were created from heaven. And they were given the freedom of choice, just like us. They were given a free will. And some chose sin because that's what the law testified. When we read that in Ezekiel chapter 28, we're going to cover that. We're going to get into this war. He said, thou hast sinned. And sin is the transgression of the law. So that lets me know that he had gave the angels free will. He gave them conscience. He didn't create them robots like he didn't create us robots. You know, to create you without free will is to create you in a way that you wouldn't sin, you know, and you would just be like everybody else. You would be just a clone of everything. You wouldn't have no individuality. So we can't fault God for wanting to be individual. How are you going to have the freedom of consciousness and still blame God for the freedom of will? Because if you got freedom of will, there's a judgment. And this is what happened.
He gave the angels the same constitution and the law. They have freedom of will. So this is that story, that they actually chose sin. You know, some chose sin. Amen. So let's get into that. So, Absalom, are you ready?
Yeah.
Amen. So, brothers and sisters, let's stand, face the wisdom. Brothers, if you can recover your head, stand, face the wisdom as we approach the Father. And sisters, if you can uncover your head, cover your head as we stand and approach the Father.
All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not. For I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because they sinned, thy sins were increased. Why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. I have done these things unto thee. Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all adversaries, every one of them shall go to captivity, and they that spoil thee shall be spoiled, and all they that prey upon thee will I give forth prey. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, no man seeketh after. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tent. Have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be builded upon her own heap. And the city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the man thereof. Jeremiah 30:14-18.
Hallelujah. Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren, and their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but delight in blessing us because they see your light and countenance upon us, Father. Have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children, and our children's children, and their children, and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit and give us a mind to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear, and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and the faith to perform it. And Father, have mercy on them that hear us, and also send your Holy Spirit upon them as well, that they too may receive a mind to perceive, and eyes to hear, and eyes to see, and ears to hear, and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and the faith to perform it. In Jesus' name we pray. For your mercies endure forever. Amen.
Okay, now let's start this in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7. Revelation 12 and 7. And this is what this conversation is about. You know, because dealing with this creation series, you know, we brought the angels out the fire and showed, you know, the Lord showed us how he created them, literally created them. And now we had also showed that they had to keep a law too, and that Shiloh, Shabbat, and they had to keep the law too. Well, some kept the law, some didn't. And the ones that didn't sinned against God. So they were kicked out of heaven. This is this story. So let's start in Revelation chapter 12 and 7. When you receive the read.
And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels prevailed. Neither was their place found any more in heaven, and the great dragon was cast out, the old devil, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. Angels were cast with him. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God, and the power of it, up his for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word
okay,
of the
testimony." Okay, hold that thought. Okay, hold that thought. Okay, so we see here that he was kicked out of heaven. He was kicked out of heaven, right? And his angels with him, all of them, every last one of them. It wasn't all of them was kicked out of heaven. Well, this is that story. You know, some teachers say it was just him. It was the Lord of hosts is ginormous. We can't conceive it. It's no way you can conceive it. The Lord of hosts, it surrounds the cosmos. It's impossible to conceive this magnitude of what happened. But let's look at that. Let's go in Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 11. Let's look at the cause and effect of what got them kicked out of heaven.
"Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, thou sittest up in the summer full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in the garden of God. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. Sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes is prepared in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth and not set thee foe. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God."
Your microphone went up.
Yeah, "thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee." Come on. "Thou art the
okay, now get
cherub."
This. Hold on. Now get this, right? So this war in heaven is going to look like this. It's not looking like this monstrous war that we've been taught in cinema. When Satan and his angels went to war, they was covered like this. They had all this beauty upon you. He said you was perfect in beauty. You understand? So don't get this confused with the foolishness you see in the world. Satan is not no hideous monster, as you've been taught to emulate. Continue.
"Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect
so,
in
no,
thy
no,
place."
No, 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 no. Hold up. So not only this war that took place in heaven, it took place in a place that's on fire. Now get this. This place is on fire. They got all these jewels and all this is flashing around, man. There's no way you can see this with the eyes of flesh. There's no way you could. There's no sunglasses, no sun blocker, no UV rays. You will be able to perceive this with eyes of flesh. So it'd be impossible for man to see this. Continue.
That was perfect in thy ways. From the day that thou was created till iniquity is found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as a profane out of the mountain of God.
Stop. He said, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled thee with violence, and thou hast what? Sin. He said, wait a minute. Go to 1 John 3 and 4. We're coming right back to this. Go to 1 John 3 and 4. What did he do? What did he do? 1 John 3 and 4. When you receive it, read.
Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, with sin transgression of the law. And you know
see?
That he was mental.
See? Sin is what? Transgression of the law. Exactly. So they got what? Free will. Free will. You see, so they made choices. They made a conscious decision to sin. They weren't misled. Nobody is misled in the sin, either you do or you don't. I mean, but you could play the game, you know, like you led me. No. When you sin against God, own it. Ain't nobody else to blame. Okay, let's go back to Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28 and 16. So we seen that he transgressed the law. So dealt with that conversation again. He had the consciousness of free will. The difference is he was created as a subservient being. He's created as a subservient being. He's not created in the image of God. He's created as a subservient being. That is to say, he is created to serve us. The cherubs were created to serve us. That's it, nothing more. Obviously, he had a problem with that. Because God called it, gonna read this stuff, man. He said, you sinned. Go to Job chapter 41. Job 41 and verse 1. When you receive it, read.
Canst thou draw out the Leviathan hook, or his tongue with the cord which thou lettest down? Canst thou put
the Leviathan? Hold up. Leviathan is the serpent of the sea. And we already identified that, that Satan, that old serpent, was cast out from heaven, right? So he is the serpent of the sea, and the seas being men, water, so he moved through men as a serpent. And now the God of Israel is showing us him. He's showing us him and the reason why he was kicked out when he looked inside of him. When he looked inside of him and he said, thou hast sinned, he saw this. Read on.
Canst thou put a hook into his nose, or bore his throat, or bore his jaw through with the thorn? Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Will he make a covenant with thee? Wilt thou take him for a servant forever? With Don't play with
Wait a minute. So you can sell your soul to the devil, according to verse 4. You mean to tell me after the Lord turned Satan loose on Job, he told him also, he said, yeah, you can sell your soul to the enemy. Right there. He said it. You can do it. You'll never see me, but it can be done. Continue.
Would thou play with him as with the bird, or would thou bind him for thy maidens? Shall thy companions make a banquet of him? Shall they part him among the merchants? Canst thou fill his skin with barbed irons, or his head with fish spears? Lay thine hand upon him, remember the battle, do no more. Behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? No one is.
See,
none is.
The hope of him is what?
Vain.
He don't even have any hope, Jack. He been already judged. This is the difference between the angels that's going to be judged and Satan. Satan has been judged. Not all the angels that you've seen get kicked out of heaven is going to go into the lake of fire. Well, what's the purpose of them being judged? It was the ones that was kicked out of heaven and the ones that was continually, whatever, however the Lord would view that. Same here. I think it would be the same principle. You know, when man sinned, then we'd be judged for all our actions, whatever they may be. You know, whatever our sins may be, idolatry, whatever it may be, we're going to be judged by. You know, same thing with them. Either we repent and don't be judged by them, like them. Either they repent and don't be judged by them. Same principle. If the judgment got you there, repentance would get you out of it. So they got the same levy in the law as we have, that if we repent, then we'll be delivered. Even if we stand in the judgment, we'll be delivered. But this one here, he said, the hope of him is in vain because he was judged in the garden. Read on.
Who hath prevented me? None is so fierce that death stir him up. Who then is able to stand before me? Who hath prevented me that I should repay him? Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportion. Who can discover the face of his God?
He said, see, and it's like this. Now, get this. He said, whatsoever under the whole heaven is mine. What did you get that from? You mean to tell me he already got kicked out then? You see that? That's a past tense. You see that? Whatsoever under the whole heaven is mine. And he's telling you, I will not conceal him from you because he's been what? Kicked out from heaven. See that? He's telling you he's the serpent of the sea. He's here. That war that took place in Revelation chapter 6 already took place because he had already sinned. He's... Huh?
Your mic's going in and out.
Oh, it is? Hold up.
Yeah.
How about that?
You sound better.
All right, let me know if you do it again. If you do it again, I'm going to change microphone.
All right.
So, what was that?
He had already got kicked out.
Right. Well, see, the thing is, yeah, he did get kicked. Yeah, we know he did get kicked out, man. I was making a point. Let me see. Yeah, that his nature had kicked in. Amen. Let's read on. Get back to the scripture.
Who hath prevented me that I should repay him? Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. I will not.
There it is. That's what I was getting at. That's my point. Whatso under the whole heaven is mine. My point was that he's under heaven now. He got kicked out. That's the whole point. Continue.
I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportion. Who can discover the face of his garment, or who can come to him with his double bridle? Who can open the doors of his face? His are terrible round about. His scales are his pride, shut up together as with a closed seal. One is so near.
His scales are his what?
His
scales. He's telling me he's defining a serpent right now. He's telling you he's a serpent. He's saying, and he's so full of pride that it ain't no deliverance. That's he been given a reprobate. When you cut off, he reprobates you. So he's telling us that spirit, that devil, Satan, is reprobated. See that? God reprobate angels. Angels don't reprobate men. God do. And God will reprobate an angel. And that's what happened with Satan the devil. He can't return back to anything that's good. That's reprobation. Continue.
One is so near to another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together. They cannot be sundered. His knee seems a light, doeth shine. His eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils goeth smoke, as out of a seething pot or cauldron. His breath kindleth coals, and the flame goeth out of his mouth. And his neck remaineth strength and sorrow, is turned into joy before him. The flakes of his flesh are joined together. They are firm in themselves. They cannot be moved. His heart is as firm as a stone, yeah, as hard as a piece of another millstone. When he raises up himself with might.
His heart is what? No, his heart is what?
As firm as a stone.
He been reprobated. When he saw the sin inside of him, and that it was, he reprobated him. We don't play those games. If God will reprobate an angel as we reading right now, you don't want no parts of it. So now it's a war in heaven, right? Let's look at this a little further. Let's go in. Let's go back to Ezekiel 28. And where do we leave off? 16? Let's pick it up at the 17.
Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom. By reason of thy brightness, I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. By the iniquity of thy traffic, therefore, will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth, in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror,
that's good.
Never shall thou be
that's good.
More.
He said this, he said, because of the multitude of thy traffic, thy traffic, right? So let's look at that thing. Let's look at this traffic. You said, in the sight of thee, they shall behold thee. What is it? This traffic that he had did. Traffic. There it is. Okay. Coming and going. Let's see. No, that's actual physical traffic in the world. Here it is. Communication. So he trafficked communication, commerce, connections, customs, dealings, doing, familiarity. Oh, that's how that door got opened up, you know, for the necromancers. Industry, interchange, intercourse, intimacy. You know, they go in the, well, right there, they go on the porn industry. Relations, relationships. So he's in everything. Relationships, relations, all in the business, all in the world, all in the church, everywhere. Soliciting, trading. So this is what he was doing. He was soliciting and trading information among the other chavs. And he got caught. And that's what got him kicked out. He was trading information. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3:11.
Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and
Oh, forgive me. 1 Peter 1:11.
Churchy, what or what manner of time the spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified before the sufferings of Christ and the glory that shall follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but as they did minister the things which are now reported unto you, of them that have preached the gospel unto you with them, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into.
You see that? The angels desired to look into those things, the sufferings of God. Because when they were discussing with this, the Father and the Son, they discussing the B plan, he let it out. And the angels wanted to know. So he trafficked that information, the sufferings of God. The angels desired to know them things, so they got caught up too. You see? Let's go to Revelations chapter 3:12-3. So let's look. Let's see how many he got caught up. Revelations 12:3.
And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, the great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man.
Stop. His third part, his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. He influenced a third part of the stars of heaven. He influenced a third part of the angels. How many is that? That's how many got cast out. That's the next question you got to ask yourself. If he influenced a third part of the heavens, how many is that? Because they all on the planet. Let's look at that. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12:18. When you receive it, read.
for ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burn with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of word, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they cannot endure that which was commanded. And if so much be, and if so much as the beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with the dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses by exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of
Israel. Stop. How many angels are it?
Innumerable.
A third part of how many?
Innumerable.
So, when we was looking at this war was out of control. I mean, this was, man, we ain't seen nothing like this. Never. You talking about World War III when all mankind was coming. See, this is what the Jehovah Witnesses used to teach the world. Well, they probably still teach it that World War III was when the angels was kicked out of heaven because everybody, all man was against each other. No, that was a global genocide. That was global population. But yeah, come onto Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Innumerable. How many is that? Let's look at it. Let's see, can we find a number? Go to Revelation chapter 5 and 11. Revelation 5 and 11. Because he said, into a heavenly Jerusalem. So this is where the war took place there. In heavenly Jerusalem. It took place there. In Jerusalem. So he excited a sedition against the kingdom of God. Revelations 5 and 11.
And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice.
Stop, read that again. Read that again. I need you to understand what you see here. Now read that again.
And I beheld, uh-huh. And I heard the of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the
stop,
elders.
Stop. So, when Satan rebelled against the heaven, the angels did what? Surround the throne. They surround the throne. See that? And many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders. So, if he had got through the Lord of Hosts and Michael, they would have had to get to them to get to him. So immediately they surrounded the throne. See that? Read it again.
And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of with 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands.
Is that a number? Is that a number?
No.
That's an innumerable number facing an innumerable number of a third part of an innumerable number. See that? Let's look at it a little further. Let's go to Psalm 68 and verse 17.
The the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high.
So the Lord is in the middle of them. So they all lined up. They lined up for war. The chariots of God is what?
20,000, even thousands of angels.
Is that a number?
Nope.
No. 20,000, even thousands, that's not even a number. Who come up with that? But this is the thing. So now the angels have sinned against God, and now it's war. Everybody's prepared for war now. They surround, the angels surround the throne. The Lord is in the midst of them. Now it's going to get ready to go down. You see that? Let's look at this a little further. Let's go in the 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 15. Second Kings chapter 6 and verse 15. Continue. 15.
And when the servant of man of God was risen early and going forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire out of which they came down.
Stop. That's the same thing that happened in heaven. Because they mounted up against God. So he tells me the same thing here. He said, they that are with us is more than they that are with them. He took a third part of the innumerable. But they that are with, so these things is taking place even now, playing out in the world, even as we know it. The reason why the United States is one of the superpowers, and also the Soviet and China and Korea, is the reason why they're the superpowers. They are influenced by the spirits of God. That's all to it. The Word of God tells you in Revelation that he holds back the four corners of the earth by the four angels. They all influence. But once he said, now, when God get a commandment and tell them, hey, it's time to go turn man loose against themselves, it's World War III. But right now, the angels are holding them back, but they're getting ready. This is why you see Putin over there siding with China now, and they're sharing technology. So he said, they that are with us are more than they that be with them. You see, so this war like this has been going on. It's a rage against the kingdom, man. Jesus called him when he came back. The war has been against the kingdom. Ever since Abel. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 5 and 22. So he said, alas, Lord, when he saw all them guys lined up against the kingdom, he said, well, how shall we do? And the Lord said, look, we got the angels of God. That's how you're going to do. Second Samuel chapter 5 and 22, when you receive it, read.
And the Philistines came up yet again, spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees, and let it be when thou hearest the sound of thawing in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer.
So wait a minute. The Lord of hosts went in front of him. What did he do? He sent them angels. You see that? The ones that Elisha said, here, open, they that be among us is greater than those that be with them. And the Lord is showing them right there among David. And David, even though he went and fought, they took over the battle. They was out there fighting in men like they fought in Samson. We wasn't losing one. Man, Joshua sent like 7,000 dudes down to take over this little bitty city, and like 34 of us got killed. That's like unheard of, and he was crying. But that's what happened when you are serving the true and living God. You're not going to suffer no casualties, none. Not one. Once they gathered together, Joshua and them took over all of Canaan. No problem. Like this, with these angels in them and going before them fighting against the wicked. Now, you got to remember now, he said, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. So he had to send the angels because the Philistines came up. What moved the Philistines up against David? Those spirits. Those angels against the kingdom again. It's always been against the kingdom, prophets and whatnot. You know, people don't realize how far we go when we call for addition here. This is some real drama. This got Satan kicked out. Sedition got Satan kicked out of heaven. Heresy got Satan kicked out of heaven. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go to Joshua chapter 5 and 13. Joshua 5 and 13. We receive the reading.
And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, as captain of the host of the Lord, I am not come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, did worship, and said unto my Lord, unto his servant, and the captain of the Lord's.
Stop. Your microphone is breaking up. I don't know if you're moving or something like that, but it's starting to break up. But anyway, he said he saw this man walking up with his sword in his hand. That's one. Then he said, are you for us or are you for them? He said, nay, I'm the captain of the Lord of hosts. Oh, wait a minute. So that's how it's got to get down. He said, remember that Elisha said, they that are with us are more than they that are with them. He said, he's the captain of the Lord of hosts. So he sent him. When the mulberry bushes were moving, that was him. You see? And he got a sword in his hand. What is he going to do with that sword? Let's see. Go to Genesis 3 and 24. What are you going to do with his sword? What are you going to do with us? Because remember now, they take over us. So what are we going to do with our sword? Remember now, Joshua just got through sharpening up their swords so they can circumcise each other without a blink. So their swords was razor sharp. So what are they going to do with these swords? Go to Genesis 3 and 24. I agree.
So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way. The way
okay.
of the trio.
So, when them angels got ready to go to war and they surrounded the throne of God, he put them angels in front of him and they what? Them swords started doing what? Turning in every way. It was only cracking in. It was war. It was only cracking. This hate. When these dudes, they move in fours. Like, you know, I tried to separate. I thought by looking in Revelations chapter 12 that they actually fought individually. And it appears in Revelations chapter 4. But when you look at the cherubim and how they circulate, they move in packs or fours. Where the seraphim, you actually can see them individually. So when the seraphims, when the cherubims are moving like the Lord from here to there, they are unit. But when they went to war, they were individuals. When they carried the throne, their wings joined together. When they went to war, they were individuals. In fact, go to Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1.
Chapter Revelation 4 and verse 1.
Yes, sir. When you receive it, read it.
After this, I listened, and behold, the door opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet while talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will shew thee things which must be hereafter." Immediately,
stop.
I was in
stop,
spirit.
Stop. This is the foolishness of people saying that they speaking in tongues by an angel, because if you were speaking in tongues like an angel, you'll sound like a trumpet. Ba-da-ba-ba-da. Oops, there it is. Continue.
And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, the throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. There was a rainbow round about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald, and round about the throne.
Now remember now, they surrounded this. They surrounded this in heaven, because when the war took place, he got surrounded. He's going to show it again. He got surrounded. Watch this. Read on.
And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before them, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne, round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second like a calf. The third beast had a face of man. The fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the fourth beast had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was, and is, and is to come." And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, and the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their
stop, before stop, 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 stop. So now these are your seraphim. Now I said the four beasts, which had them six wings about them, were full of eyes, rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy." They surrounding the throne in heaven. This is them. So the seraphim, it's safe to say that the seraphims went to war with the cherubim. You know, I ain't going to say that all the seraphim sided with, all the cherubim sided with Satan. But I can say it was a majority. Just like all of Judah didn't side with Saul. But some did. You know, even the priests, some of the priests left with Saul, were still at it. So it's safe to say that, you know, man, hey, Satan probably could have deceived even some of the seraphim. You know, that conversation, we really, the spectrum of it is hard to conceive. We can see here that this war is the seraphim that's in heaven, they going in. It's, you are not getting next to the throne, right? So we see this captain of the Lord of hosts, who we have yet to identify, got this sword that when he turns into who he turns into, he know what to do with it. As what we read in Genesis chapter 3 and 24, he said that sword started turning every which way. When that war took place in heaven, it was on. Let's look at that. Let's go into Ezekiel chapter 1 and 3. Ezekiel 1 and 3. Let's look at that war in heaven. Let's look how it went before God. Because remember now, he was sitting on the throne, and he saw it. John said that it was a sea of glass in front of him. And he was sitting there just looking at it. He was sitting there.
And the Lord came, and the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel, priest the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Chebar. And the hand of the Lord there was upon him. And I looked, and behold, the whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and the fire holding itself, and the brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof, as the cover of amber, out of the midst of the fire, also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and every one had four faces, and every one had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot.
But the seraphim got six wings. See that? Do that make them bigger? Six wings is a lot. Is it a question to ask, are seraphims bigger than cherubims? Seeing that they got six wings versus four. So I'm trying to draw this war up, what we see in heaven. You know, we kind of blase through it, and we accept the media draw of it before we accept the biblical draw. You know what I mean? We'll rather look at the movie and see what they think of what the war in heaven looked like instead of what we can actually go in the pages of the books. So, are the seraphims literally bigger than the cherubims? It's a probability because of that one factor. You know, you got two different types of helicopters. You got one helicopter that got one propeller, right? Then you got another helicopter that got two propellers. And then you got another helicopter that got four propellers. Well, each helicopter is bigger, you know, are different sizes. So leading the reason, you got six wings versus two with kind of dictate that they were bigger or are bigger than cherubims. Anyway, let's continue. Oh, yeah. And so they came up at each other like this. He said, now look, and the whirlwind came out of the north. Fire. So they was fighting each other like tornadoes. Well, I guess so. Because they all like four. If they join together, then they going in, you know, wow. They fight in fire. The swords is on fire. And it's like a tornado. It's like a tornado of fire. Well, how would I say that? It would appear to be legions of tornadoes fighting each other. That's what I would say. Legions of tornadoes combating each other with swords that turn any kind of way. Every kind of way. The scripture said, turning every way. We've seen this. You know, me, I'm big on Foo Felix, man. I dig that. You know, that's one of my draws. Ever since I was a child, I've been big on Foo Felix, man. But what's really impressive is the speed. Well, this got to be phenomenal. We're talking about this is taking place in eternity where time is actually almost frozen. So how fast is this moving? To the naked eye, eternity is frozen. Let's look at this. Read on.
Feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they had their faces in their wings, and they had four, and they four their faces in their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went.
See, that's why the sword. That's why the sword was able to turn every which way. You see that? Continue.
As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion, and on the right side they had. On the right side, and they four had the face of an ox, and on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were the faces.
Now, when you read this, they sound like individuals that's joined together by hand. When you read that in Revelations, they sound like individuals that are joined together, but they can separate because he keep numbering them 1, 2, 3, 4. There are four individual beings that can separate you. They are not joined at the hips like Siamese twins. This is not that conversation. They are joined together because they are employed together. Continue.
That's true. Thus were their faces and their wings were stretched forward. The two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And when they went, everyone straight forward, whither the spirit was to go, they went. And they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire and like the appearance of lamps. And it went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright. And out of the fire went forth lightning, and the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now, as I be, hell to living creatures. We have unwill upon the earth.
Hold on. So you mean to tell me that this war was taking place as the what? With the what? With the speed of what? With the speed of light. With the speed of light. They moved and they returned with the flash of lightning. That's what it just said. So this war, that's why I said, to us eternity is standing still. To the naked eye, to the eyes of flesh, eternity is standing still. They were moving actually with the speed of light. So it would be impossible to see this war, yet God seen it. And they were all in front of each other, all decked out in their golden, because he created them beautiful. But this war is like at the speed of light. They moving back and forth. They going back and forth. And what else is going on? Go to Isaiah chapter 6. What else is happening?
Your mic going in and out.
Oh, it is? Okay, hold on. Let me do this. Okay, how about that?
It's that ugly. It's Isaiah 6:4.
Isaiah 6:1.
In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another.
Wait. So the war took where? So, you mean to tell me that heaven got somewhere they can fly at? So, the war took place in the air? In the heaven of heaven? You kidding me? Is that what that just said? That the war took place in heaven, in the air of heaven. Not that it's air. It just said here, and did fly. Well, where they flying at? And I got to assume that part of that war took place wherever they was flying. See that?
Yeah.
So that's air warfare. Exactly. Air warfare right there. We seen them moving with the speed of light. Now they moving with the speed of lightning in the air. Wherever that may be. I can't even say it's air because it's not. Well, let's look at this a little further. Let's continue to draw this picture. Let's go in Ezekiel chapter 10 and 1. Ezekiel 10:1.
Then I looked, and behold, in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubims, there appeared over them, as it were, a sapphire stone, as the appearance of the likeness of a throne. And he spake unto the man clothed with linen, and said, Go in between the wheels under the cherub, and fill thine hand with the coals, with coals of fire, from between the cherubims, and scatter them over the city. And he went in my sight. Now the cherubim stood on the right side of the house when the man went in, and the cloud filled the inner court. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. the sound of the cherubim's wings was heard even to the outer court as the wing, as the voice of the Almighty God when he speaketh. And it came to pass that when he had commanded the man clothed with linen, saying, take fire from between the wheels, from between the cherubims, then he went in and stood beside the wheels. And one cherub stretched forth his hand from between the cherubims unto the fire that was between the cherubims, and took thereof and put it into the hands of him that was clothed with linen, who took it and went out. And there appeared in the cherubims the form of a man's hand under their wings. And when I looked, behold, the four wheels of the cherubims, one wheel by one cherub and another wheel by another cherub, and the appearance of the wheels was as the color of the of a beryl stone. And as for their appearances, they four had one likeness, as if a wheel had been in the midst of a wheel. And when they went upon their four sides. They turned not as they went, but to the place whither the head looked, they followed it. They turned not as they went. Their whole body and their backs and their hands and their wings and the wheels were full of eyes round about, even the wheels that they had four, that they four had. As for the wheels, it was cried unto them in my hearing, O wheel, and every one had four faces. The first face was the face of a cherub, and the second was the face of a man, and the third the face of a lion, and the fourth the face of an eagle. And the cherubims
Stop.
Were lifted up.
So, once again, he's describing them as individual. Every last one of them has the exact same thing. So this is the war. But they have four wings. The cherubims, the seraphims had six wings. So now, we see them, how they moving with the speed of light. I guess them wheels, whatever, man. Them wheels got them moving like that. That is a phenomenal thing to see that they have wheels that's actually on fire too. So they moving. And then also we found out what he actually identified as a cherubim. He said the face of a man, that's not a cherub. The face of an eagle, that's not a cherub. The face of an lion, which was definitely would have been the perception of a cherubim, and he said, nope, that's not the face of a cherub. The face of a cherub is an ox. No wonder they drew what? No wonder Aaron made a what? A golden what? Ox. We want to play like we don't know what we're doing. We really know what we're doing. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. 10 and 17, you see the reading.
And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And when he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread.
We'll just read past that. He said, I beheld Satan as what?
Lightning.
That war took place at the speed of light. Or the speed of lightning, like we got through reading in Ezekiel. And then he said this, I beheld. That's a past tense. Already happened. It happened already. It happened already. And get this. Go to Isaiah chapter 14 and 12. And get this. Watch this. Watch this. This is how you know it happened already. When you receive the reading.
How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? What thou hast said in heart.
See, that's a past and present tense. The war already took place, and now he's doing something else. How art thou fallen to the ground, O Lucifer, one, past tense. How art thou, how hast thou weakened the nations,
now. Where the nations at? In heaven? No, they on the earth. That's where he at. That's why when we read in the book of Job, God said, everything under heaven belongs to me. I will not conceal him. And that's what we're doing. We're revealing him right now. Or he's revealing us. He's revealing them to us, so to say.
For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought.
He said, I will ascend in the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So there you go. Once again, he can fly. Long we look at it for what it is. This war took place in heaven. He got kicked out already. It's over. The war is over with. Now he's down here doing his thing. He lost. Now he's on the earth. Go back to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. And let's pick it up at verse 3.
And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And when she brought forth the man-child, who was the ruler of nations with the rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should be her there 1,200 days. And this was the war in heaven. Oh, you cutting up like you're... Yes, Mike is like.
Okay, forget.
You said what? I'll keep reading or. Hello.
Can you hear me now?
I'll keep reading.
Okay, go. Pick it back up at verse.
I was at 7.
9. Oh, yeah, read 7. Pick it up at 7. Okay.
And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in the heaven, now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into a place where she is nourished for a time. The times and a half. And
okay,
and
hold
time
on. We're not going into the great tribulation period. That's a whole other conversation. But we see him now on the earth. That's where he is. You know, but we see the story is escalating that he's, you know, that he persecuted the woman, which he did. He said it was a great red dragon. What do you mean a red dragon? Well, it was a dragon because it was use the Roman Empire. That's the beast. That's that fourth beast in Revelations. I mean, in Daniel chapter 7, that fourth beast. He used that. Under Herod, he said it was red. Herod is Esau or Edom or Idumea. So there was the red dragon they used. It was the dragon that used the Roman Empire through Herod to try to kill the Christ, which the woman had brought forth. That was that conversation. But then the war had took place already. He was already here. You would think that because of the way that was conversated that the war is going to take place. No. Jesus said he already got kicked out of heaven. He said, I already seen it. So how is he going to persecute the woman, child, and then afterward get kicked out of heaven when he said he already saw it? It doesn't make any sense. You would be in a paradox. Or accept the fact that the war already took place. My question is this. Why is he referred to as a serpent in Genesis chapter 3 and God is telling Moses the story? Moses didn't call him a serpent. God did. Why was he a serpent in Genesis chapter 3? And the serpent said unto the woman, why did God tell Moses that he was a serpent? That's not Moses' story. Moses was writing it down. The first five books of the Bible was written by Moses. Genesis was written by Moses. So he was a dragon already. The war had already took place. He was called a serpent then because there was sin in him. But then, when he calls man to sin, then he said, now are you cursed above every beast of the field. And he put a clock on him. You're going to eat dust all the days of your life. Well, when man come up out the ground, ain't going to be no more dust. So that means he got to go to the fire. He already been judged. The hope of him is in vain, like we read in Job chapter 41. The hope of him is in vain. They're going to stand before God. The other angels that fell with him, the third part that we read about, they're going to get judged according to the things that they did or didn't do, just like we are. It's easy to sin, man. You can sin and fall, but then you can pick yourself back up and be still. You know what I mean? Say, I ain't going down that road no more. You could just be wicked. So they're giving a choice too. You know, there's no reason to be judged if you don't have a chance. Or in other words, every man that's in the judgment is going to the lake of fire, just like the angels. God ain't respect a person. So this war took place, man. They got kicked out. It's already over with. They here. They on the earth. Okay? Now, go to Job chapter 1. We're going to wrap it up here. Job chapter 1. No, we're not. We got one more verse after this. Job chapter 1. And 1.
There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was there was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she asses and a very great house.
Skip down to 6.
Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord
Stop. So where's Satan at? What is he doing? Going left and right, up and down. To and fro. Looking for a weak link. And power. Okay? There he is. He's on the planet. That's what God said. I will not conceal him. There he is. That's what we've been reading about. Now he's here. And God said, what are you doing? In the book of Job, he said, I'm going to and fro and back and forth in earth. Why is he doing that? Because he's been kicked out. Why did he say that? Because he was kicked out already in the book of Job. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Genesis 1 and 1. And when you receive it, read.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void. And the dark and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a mist of the water.
There you go. So the angel I created when? On the first day. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So, with that being said, we're going to wrap that up there. So now we got him on the earth. He's no longer in heaven. We got him on the earth. But guess what? It's sin in heaven now because he brought sin there. Right? So now that he's on the planet, he's seeking whom he may devour. That's another conversation that we got to get into because he's here now. We're dealing with the brother. We're dealing with the angels that he created. And then you got the other part of this conversation. Now you got the angels in heaven. You got a divided house. You got the angels in heaven that's following God. They got missions now. And the heavens get washed with the blood of Jesus. What do you mean? When he died, he ascended into heaven and sprinkled the most holy place with his blood. Heaven's clean. We got to get into that. You know, that got to be cleaned back up. Remember now, we're still in the first day. We're still dealing with heaven. Heaven is, the conversation of heaven is relatively kind of big. You know, you got a lot going on there. You know what I mean? But guess what else we picked up in this conversation of heaven, right? We picked up that Satan and his army sinned in the temple of God. In the city of God, Jerusalem, what we call New Jerusalem, but they stand there. This is that thing. So we got to get into that. So, yeah, we're still talking about heaven, people. We're still dealing with the creation. Yes, we got into the angels' part because their part is in heaven. So, nope, we're still dealing with heaven. We're still dealing with the element of heaven. Amen? So, and the heaven was created on the first day, right? What you get out of it? Okay.
Me?
Yeah.
To be honest, a lot that I didn't know previously. Like, I didn't know. I knew a lot of this, but like, I didn't know to the extent that I now know. And, yeah, I'm going to start saying this stuff more. It's more interesting than almost all the stuff that I read or watch now. So, man, it's the Sabbath, so why not?
Right.
Yeah.
Man.
Oh, it's a lot.
Well, I just hope and pray, man, that we can kind of outgrow this what a fairy tale that attaches itself to the Bible. You know what I mean? So, that's that thing. No, no, but hey, you got fam listening, man, so you want to holler before we close out?
Shalom, man.
I don't think you heard
it. Yes,
so
hey, that this brother Keith, that was a great lesson. I wouldn't even know how to even think about what these angels look like, but it's something that we wouldn't want to deal with. But that was an excellent lesson. And much love to family with that close.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't even thought of that if it wasn't for God giving it to me. That's why I say, who think of that? You know, who would think that eternity would stand still if the naked eye can't see it because time is moving too fast for the naked eye to see? Who writes that in the law that is necessary? The God of Israel. Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, but okay, well, yes, hey, with all that being said, and then we're going to hope and pray everybody have a continual blessed Sabbath, and be back tomorrow morning. We will be dealing with, what would I deal with? Really good. What is a nobody? Tomorrow.
What is a what?
Nobody.
Alright.
It's an easy kill. It's not really complicated. You just got to know what it is. Because that comes with a warning. That comes with a warning. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I will. That being said, I'm going to thank everybody for their time. We'll hold it. Edify someone. As you say here, at the Sounds of Living Waters, read your Bibles, and people, keep your sins at a minimum. Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeper rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Shalom.
Shalom, Israelite.